Welcome to How to Study in Germany, a podcast made for and by international students. Listen for not only inspiration from personal stories of other students and alumni community, but also from advices from experts in the fields of language learning, university application, career orientation, housing, and more. Today, I am happy to introduce you to Refie from the land of Turkey, as she navigates the realm of international business administration studies in Germany. Refie not only excels in her academic pursuits, but also shines as the president of the International Students Initiative, EASY. Her sunny disposition and spirited approach brings a unique glow to the student community. Tune in to get to know her perspective.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode. I'm Refie and I'm very excited to be here. I am a third semester student of International Business Administration and Entrepreneurship, and I've been here in Germany slightly over a year, currently studying and working at the same time, enjoying my time and becoming a president of an international students initiative and doing fun stuff.
Can you tell us about your educational journey and what led you to study abroad in Germany? Because originally you come from Turkey, right?
Yes.
And did you face any challenges along that way, and how did you overcome them?
Yes, so my educational background is very complex and long. This is actually my second bachelor's. I already have a diploma in teaching English.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yes. So I already finished a university back in Turkey. I did an exchange semester in Croatia. I had the greatest time of my life.
Croatia,
yes,
wow.
It was really fun. Highly recommend. Warm, not like Germany. Quite fun. So it was really nice. And there I realized that I really want to do something abroad, because I was part of Erasmus Student Network as well. There we were already communicating with a lot of international students. So I've always been in an international environment, and I wanted to take it a bit further and study again. And I just wanted to move and live in somewhere in Europe. And I was looking for something that I could build my life on. And I thought it would be nice to start again with a different bachelor's, with a different chapter in my life. And I found with a friend of mine's recommendation, who's a German boy that lives in Hamburg, that I met actually in Istanbul.
Really?
Where he was doing his exchange. And thanks to him, I was able to find Leuphana University by a recommendation of a local person, and then just applied. Yes, there was some challenges when it comes to application process and visa processes, because when you're from a non-European country, there are some different regulations, but handled it very well. Of course, the most difficult part was to leave everything behind for good for a very long time and just start something new out of nowhere. But I think I handled it pretty well. I'm used to it now.
And what about your previous bachelor?
I really like it, because I studied languages, German, English, but I was mainly educated to be an English teacher. And before coming here, I actually taught English for a year. I enjoy every moment of it, but it's not something that I find myself being stable financially if I continue doing it. And I thought maybe in the future, if I have my business degree, something related to that, I can maybe create a business out of language teaching, maybe a platform in the future, and incorporate both of the diplomas that I have.
So you somehow want to make use of both of those measures.
Yes.
That's actually great. You've mentioned that you are the president of EASY, which stands for International Students Initiative. Can you tell us maybe how did that happen?
Yes, it was something very sudden for me. So the first week that I moved to Lüneburg, my flatmate was like, oh, you know, I'm part of this initiative, you should join, it's quite fun. And 2 months later, I was the president.
Wow, in it 2 months.
Yes, two,
in 2 months, you became a president.
Yes.
That must say something about you.
Thank you. So there was a gap of needing a role, and I was like, okay, I have a tendency to try to do everything at once. So I thought, yes, I can manage it. And it's been some time now. that we're doing fun stuff, just communicating with internationals and introducing them to local students, kind of connecting them together, giving them a safe space to socialize. It's basically my circle, so it's not something very new to me. That's why I quite enjoy what I do as a president, and because it's, I'm not doing everything alone. We have a very good team. I have a lot of nice colleagues, I might call, or family members, that we do everything together and we create great space and places for everybody.
Can you give us maybe an example of one of the events you organized?
Yes, last week we went to Schwerin as a city trip kind of thing, and we were a group of like 25 people just going and experiencing a new city, sightseeing. And then a week before, we had a quiz night where we had cultural pop quiz questions, and then later on it turned into be a karaoke night.
Everybody, which was really great.
Yes, you were there. Yes. And we do Halloween parties, Christmas parties, and all the fun stuff and cultural stuff.
Okay, that sounds great, but what about some other activities? Are there any societies that you're maybe attending yourself? And can you tell us about a memorable experience or valuable lesson you gained from your additional work?
Yes, I'm not technically a part of any other society, but I take part in the events that are made. 2-3 weeks ago, for example, there was a very nice concert, punk rock concert, hosted by Bakum, and I was lucky enough to attend there and met with some local artists and freshly new independent artists, and it was quite nice. On the other hand, besides some social events, I also use the facilities of the universities such as Studio 21, and I started jiu-jitsu courses, which is quite fun. You feel really strong beating people up, which I don't normally do.
But normally.
Yes, in circumstances of sports, of course.
Let maybe change the topic to something a little bit more complicated. How does it look for you in terms of managing your finances?
Yes, it's a bit challenging because I do not really get any additional financial support from my family. The economic situation in Turkey, it's not the greatest, so I sort of have to sustain myself on my own ways, and Germany is offering great opportunities for that with the concept of working students. So I am working at a very nice company called Olympus. It's a medical tech company, and there I manage a platform called Global Digital Academy, where we get speakers, internal or external speakers, and we educate people of Olympus employees on digital fluency. Basically, we teach everything from artificial intelligence to agility, and I sort of manage the calendar, the content, and so on. And I was lucky enough to be recommended by someone, by a friend of mine who was already working there at a similar department. And when we had the interview, my current boss was like, yes, you are made for this. So it was actually a very easy process for me, which I feel very lucky about, because I know many international students might have difficulties with finding jobs, especially if they are non-German speakers. My job doesn't require any German because it's an international company. So I could say that I'm a very lucky person in general that I was able to find
the power of networking.
Yes, for sure.
So do you actually speak German language?
Ein bisschen. Just a little bit. I actually studied German when I was in high school for 2 years, because since the last 2 years of high school, I started focusing on language education. So I took 2 years of German in high school and 2 years in my first bachelor. So basically, I would consider myself A2. So I can handle some chit chats, and I can do slight paperwork. Ooh, which is very important in Germany.
That sounds like a lot.
Yes. And I can talk about the weather, complain about some stuff.
And all of it in just A2.
Yes, I know the necessary vocabulary to complain, to talk about weather, and do paperwork. So
basically, to all of the most important, crucial parts of German life.
Of course, yes.
Would you say that adapting to a new environment requires resilience?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe can you share an experience that challenged you, but ultimately helped you grow as an individual?
I really like this question because I read an article about just studying abroad, and it actually has phases. So it's just different phases. So first 6 months is like the honeymoon phase where you are very good and happy.
Oh God, that's true.
And then after some time, you realize that, okay, some things are changing. You're now settling in. And after 6 months, it becomes a bit harder. Even though you adapt to certain things, it's not the same. So you started to realize some other sides of the new environment that you are in. And then after 1 year, it's on your decision to actually go on, if just go on with the honeymoon phase or just stick to the phase where you are a bit more pessimistic. And I think what challenged me the most is not feeling lonely, but being alone in a way where you're far from your loved ones. Yes, of course, you have your own circle here. Some people become your family that you're not really connected by blood. But what was, in my experience, was very challenging, that when you lose a loved one back in your home country, and then you have to make a big decision, especially with the process of, okay, now I leave everything behind, just go back to Turkey, handle a lot of mental work, handle a lot of family work. And then when I got back in September, it was a very challenging process for me to decide if I really want to stay in Germany or just leave everything behind and go back, because there I needed the most help and support from my family, which I got, but it's different when you're far from them. So it taught me a lot to stay on my own feet, feeling the support of your family, but still being there for yourself on your own, being enough for yourself and being the best mental support you have for yourself, and then making the best decision for yourself and for your future, no matter the circumstances are.
And did it somehow in the end worked out for you?
Yes, for me it worked out well. And I was very happy to get the support of my family in any case, and my friends that I have here. And I decided that, yes, it's a tough decision where I need maybe more closeness, physical closeness to my family. I decided that, okay, instead of feeding myself in short-term fulfillment from my family, I can seek professional help and get some benefits for my long-term run. And then it really helped me. And then I decided, yes, I want to stay here and I want to build my life here, even though it's difficult, but it's for my family, it's for myself, and for the best of my future.
Oh, I really like your answer. It's lovely.
Thank you.
I think it's going to really help some international students, because deciding to move to a completely different country, completely different environment where you don't have your loved ones close to you is a very difficult and tough decision. And I think it's true that it is kind of like phases. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember my beginnings and I know how I'm feeling right now. Yes. A little bit more skeptical, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective. But what matters the most is that somehow in the end, you can figure it out and make it work for you.
Yes, exactly.
So now when you mentioned those themes of being further from your home, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the theme of living in an interconnected world. What do you believe it means to be a responsible global citizen?
This is actually a very philosophical and nice question. After 6 hours philosophy class today, I think I can answer it.
Okay, give us the best shot.
Yes, I think interconnectedness doesn't necessarily mean that you are always around people, but you are aware of people's circumstances.
Oh, that's already very nicely put.
So we live in a globalized world. We live in a global world and we're all trying to be global citizens. But what do we mean by global citizens? It's not that that I don't see differences or I don't see circumstances. No, we have to be aware. We have to know the differences and still learn about these differences and try to offer the best services, maybe support to make these differences equal in a way, and then establish a more equal platform environment for everybody. So it's not that, oh yeah, I don't see differences. It's so I'm such a good person that I'm not even aware of differences. No, we need to be aware of certain things, and then we need to educate ourselves on that, and then we need to do something about it. And that's, I think, what it means to be a global citizen. So we need to be globally aware of other people's circumstances and do something about it.
And how do you think education can contribute to this?
I think education has the biggest part on this, because how we think and what we think is shaped mostly about the education that we get and the media that we consume. So getting a neutral education and, of course, objective education where we are reinforced to think critically instead of just reading texts and just having a multiple choice exam on that, actually trying to create something and build upon the theories that we are learning currently, which what actually is Leufano doing. I can compare it with my previous studies, because what I see the biggest difference in education in that case is that I am the active one. I am the one who is actually doing something with the knowledge that is offered to me, and I am trying to actively build upon the ideas and the concepts that we are offered to learn. So education, yes, we need to be aware of it, but we need to know how to use this knowledge to actually offer the help or the support that we can actually offer when we are a global citizen.
Now I understand why you became the president in 2 months.
Yes, it's all about
words.
You just need to know how to talk.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Okay, maybe a little bit more lighthearted topic.
Yes.
Let's talk about cultural differences, which can sometimes lead to comical misunderstandings.
Yes.
I'm sure we both are aware of it.
Yes.
What's one cultural difference you encountered that made you smile or laugh?
Cultural difference didn't technically make me laugh, but the circumstance that just was born out of it really made me giggle, because in Turkish culture, we're not very direct. So in German culture, what I really like is that people know their boundaries and they're just very direct about what they feel and
That's
what they
true.
Want. I think it's a great, I'm learning to be like that, and it's like great for personal space and
oh,
your
know,
plans.
You know, I actually also noticed that about me, that the more time I spend here in Germany, the more direct I'm trying to be, you know. It's all also a lesson of like maybe trying to be a little bit more assertive and not feeling bad about saying no to some occasions. That's so interesting that Germany is pushing on this concept on us. Yes.
No, I don't feel bad when I say, oh no, I can't join tonight. I just want to chill at my house.
Yes, and like I don't want to be, you know, and if someone wants to, you know, judge me because of that, then I'm like, this is your problem, not mine, you know.
And which technically doesn't really happen in Germany, because people think in the same way and then they're like, yeah, I understand, just take your time and then stay home.
Yes.
But if I did this in Turkey, my friends would just show up at my house, just break the windows, take me out and just go out with them, because we don't accept answer as a no. And then in the first place, you can't say no. It's
so different, right?
It's very different. So what happened was, it was just one of the first months that I was living here, and a friend of mine invited me to have dinner with his family, and I was just so excited because it was just a Christmas dinner. I've never had Christmas experience before, because we don't celebrate Christmas in Turkey. So I was just like, yeah, it was just something very a cultural unique experience for me. And I was just like, I just entered their place, and the first question, he first said, oh, okay, welcome, hi. And then the first question he asked, so when do you think you would leave? And I was just like, when would I leave?
Do you want me to leave?
Yeah, I took it like, should I go? Like, I don't understand. And he was just like, oh no, not because of I want you to leave. It's because we can arrange the whole evening according to your time of leaving. And I was just like, oh, okay. But this question it's something so crazy in Turkey. You would never ask it to a person. So when would you leave? They would be really pissed.
That's so interesting. Yes. I can't see myself ever doing that, actually. But I had once a situation where when someone did ask me, what time are you planning to leave? But it somehow felt natural at that moment. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I didn't like overthink that. But it's an interesting concept. Yes, do you see yourself actually inviting guests and saying, so when are you leaving? Or I just remember myself when once I got like an invitation to a birthday party mm-hmm. on which it was written when it ends, when you should go home, you know? Wow. And everyone was talking about, did you see? You know, but I think in Germany you'd be completely normal.
I take it normal now because it's again something with your personal borders, you know, it's about planning. Everybody is busy. I totally understand. But when I was asked this first time, I was shocked. I was just like, did I do something wrong? Why does he want me to leave? Like, what the heck is going on? But he was just trying to plan the night accordingly so that everything goes smooth. But now I can see myself, and you know what? If I have a packed day and if I need to do something, I would probably ask a person that I feel comfortable with to say, okay, when are you planning to leave? And maybe I can drop you at the train station depending on the time. Not like, so when are you going to go? But maybe something more nicer.
Yeah, I think that in Poland, people would, if they would want to get this information when someone is leaving, I think they would try to push it in a indirect way,
okay.
You know,
we
like
tend to yawn.
Like same stuff. You're like, oh, so tomorrow morning,
I have to wake up early.
But like, but don't worry, you feel comfortable. You can stay here as long as you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But remember that.
Exactly. I think it's funny. Case, you're very similar.
It's really funny. Yeah. Have you maybe stumbled upon any uniquely funny German phrases or expressions that you'd like to share?
Yes, I think there is one sentence that I just saw on a TikTok, which I found very funny. It's about like crossing the red light. So it's
gonna be a good one.
Yes, because it's, you know, it's a very big thing. Stereotypically, rules are very important and so on. And the sentence goes like Rotgänger, Totgänger, which is like red goer, dead goer. So you basically, if you cross the red light, you're gonna probably die. And the first
direct.
And when I first heard
it works.
I was just like, okay, that's a motivating sentence to just not cross at red light, which I tend to do back in Turkey, but not here. No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sometimes happens
to me
when I'm busy or really in a hurry, mm-hmm. but almost always someone screams.
Yes,
so
true,
that's also
true.
So that's another reminder of why you should not do it. Like,
yes,
if you want to, you need to make absolute sure there is nothing on the road, but most
no
of all, that there is no one next to you that is going to judge you.
True.
Let's follow maybe the topic a little bit further. In terms of like local customs, have you encountered any differences or mm-hmm. similarities between Turkey and Germany that have stood out to you?
So one of the differences, I think, is the concept of weddings. So it's a very big thing in Turkey. You usually have a crazy parties. I wouldn't call it a party, but it's just a lot of, it feels like a festival. It's like 2 days long. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I mean, if you do it traditionally, fully following everything, so you have this henna night, which is like a bachelorette party for women, you could say, and you just go rent a place, just eat good food, dance a lot, and you just have I don't know if you have ever heard of henna. It's also like it stains. It's coming from a plant that it stains.
Oh, I use it for hair.
Yes.
Lapsonia inermis. I think it's a Latin name.
I don't know the fancy name, sorry.
So it's like those plants that you dry and then they make colors, right?
Many people here use it as a natural hair dye, but it's actually a custom in Turkey that you paint your hands with it. So it's just, I don't know where exactly it's coming from.
I think it's Indian.
Okay. So the reason that we use henna is actually, I just looked it up. I am not very proficient in the meaning of henna, but it's just a symbol to to actually show that the single life is passed behind and you're entering a new era of marriage. And this henna brings you happiness and luck. And we have a concept of evil eye if people wish bad upon you, this thing protects you, this evil eye. Maybe you've seen it. It also goes with Fatima's hand. So henna is also something, in that case, used as something to protect you, to bring you luck, to bring you happiness, and a lot of, good. It's just to symbolize goodness in marriage in a way. And it's only for, just one day before the actual wedding usually, but depends with these times. I think sometimes people do it even a week before, but it's just where you have fun with your friends and close family, you dance, and it's only women, so you just dress as you wish, because it's a very cultural thing, depending on your perception of certain things. And you can go to a Turkish bath to do your henna night. So you just also, before the wedding day, you just get all cleaned up, because there's just massage and a lot of foamy massage and getting clean and dancing. And it's just something that you connect with your friends and family.
I had no idea, actually, that your weddings are so fabulous.
Yes, we do have crazy weddings, and it's just a lot of music and a lot of dancing. We just danced the whole night.
Okay, coming to my last question. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to those who dream of studying or living abroad? Mm-hmm. If you could create your refugee guide to surviving student life in Germany, what are your advices?
So especially in my experience, if you're coming from like a non-EU country, it's a very difficult process, so you need to be mentally prepared for it, with the paperwork, with the stress, with the ambiguity of even getting the visa or not, because my visa didn't come on time and I had to wait and I had to just burn my plane ticket, and so all these things, you need to be mentally prepared. And the rest is even more difficult once you get here, but the best advice is to be social and use the resources of the university as much as possible. And living in Northern Germany, it's very important, because the winters are tough. Usually you don't have enough sunlight, which affects directly your mental health, even though you don't realize it. So make use of the daylight. Just try to take a walk when there is, even though it's not sunny, as long as it doesn't rain, just go take a walk, be social. I would suggest just join the initiatives that the university has, because it really helps you to find your space and your safe place, where then you can actually build very important relationships and friendships with people, which helps you to connect with the local culture, local place, and gives you a better experience.
Wow, that's really good. I wish someone would tell me those advices before I would come.
Yeah,
really.
Now you know.
Now I know. A bit too late. Okay, Refia, thank you so much for your time and those really lovely advice.
Yay, I'm happy.
And that's it from us for today. The episodes are available on our website, podcast.leufana.de. Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.